Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning. I hope your day is going well. I wanted to read to you from Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We want to talk today about encouraging moms. We're calling this program Encouragement for Mom. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day, and I contend that the job of a mom is the hardest job on the planet, especially when it comes to a mom of preschool kids. They're just all over the place. Their energy, they're messing up this and messing up that. It's just changing diapers, doing laundry, cleaning up this room and that room. It is just exhausting. And since I don't know firsthand what it's like to be a mom, I have invited the mom of my children, Debbie, to come and to share about this, to encourage every mom in this thing called motherhood.
Well, you know, there was a t-shirt that was out a while back that the caption on it read, "Motherhood is my superpower." And, you know, it's so true, because moms wear so many different hats. We have to juggle so many different things. And it's often it's a selfless job, but it also can come without much.
It's a thankless job.
A thankless job. It can be mundane. We just kind of can do the same things over and over. It can be heartbreaking. It can be challenging. It can be frustrating. But then it can also be so incredibly rewarding, so fulfilling, so exciting. And, you know, none of us as moms do it perfectly. And I think if we're not careful, we can be so incredibly hard on ourselves because we're not doing it perfectly. And as we were kind of talking through some of these things, we thought, well, let's just look and just see some examples from God's Word of just some moms in God's Word and what kind of things that we can learn from them, because we are all able to learn more. We're all able to improve. We can't go back and unscramble eggs, but from this day forward, we can make changes and make adaptations that we need to make in terms of our parenting. And I contend that if you are breathing and your child is still breathing, it is never too late to have a relationship with them and to improve that relationship. It is never hopeless. It is never one that it's like, well, I can't. That is so far beyond repair that it's never going to be able to be fixed. Well, God is the God of miracles, and He still works miracles today, and He can do mighty things when we're yielded to what He wants us to do. And so it's important for moms to stay encouraged and to keep their eyes on the prize.
Well, I think in our culture, moms have done obviously a much better job than dads. Dads tend to bail out. You have some moms that leave and just dump the kids, so to speak, but that's very rare compared to dads. Just, dad's absent. He's not in the home. He left. I don't know who my father is. Most of the people that say, "I don't know who my father is," they knew who their mother is because mom was there. And so, I contend that a mom's job is extremely difficult, and especially when those kids are little. And so we get to get a bird's eye view from Jill and Jay as they raised Emmy and Lyndon, and still in the process with Emmy being 13 and Lyndon being 8. But now seeing Amy raise two little boys, Jack is almost 3 and Chase just turned 1. And so her hands are really, really full with cleanup. And,
you know, she will ask me so often, "Mom, how did you do this? Because you had 3 of us that were under 5. I said, "You know, I don't know. I just did. I didn't have a choice. Right. I just put one foot in front of the other and I kept going. I mean, I can't do, there's not some magical secret on how I was able to do it. Because as I look back, I think I don't even know how I was able to do it. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only explanation.
I talked to a pastor yesterday, and he told me that they have 5 children, 7 and under. And it's like,
that
wow.
is a full quiver, isn't
that,
it?
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a whole lot. So, Debbie, you ran across an article called 5 Biblical Mothers Whose Choices Still Impact Moms Today, written by Lynette Kittle, and it kind of spurs us on to discussion, and she just looks at different moms in the Bible and what we can learn mm-hmm. from them.
And it spurred me to think of even other moms than these 5. Like, as I was looking through this article, I thought, oh, but what about this mom? Oh, what about this mom in the Bible?
Right. So this Sunday, as we go through the book of Judges, I'm talking about Deborah. And the Bible says of Deborah that she is Deborah 5, 7.
Judges. Judges 5.
Yeah.
You said Deborah.
Oh, yeah, no. Deborah in the book of Judges. Judges 5, 7. She calls herself a mother in Israel. And
that's so, what you've been referring to me as all day today.
Yeah, but you're not from Israel.
No, I'm not.
But you're still a mother. And you said that I can't do this program because I don't really know what it's like to be a mother.
Well, no. I mean, you know it secondhand. You don't know it experientially.
Well, I know it's very, very difficult.
Yes.
And
that's an understatement.
I appreciate my mom. You know, my mom had 6 kids.
Yes.
9 and under. Mm-hmm. And well, no, 10 and under. My brother's 10 years older than my sister. Yeah, and it was, you know, we don't know as kids growing up. I mean, that's
right.
It is what it is. That's all you know. But as adults, you see that would be really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And moms do a whole lot. And I've contended this for a long time. Listen, the dad's role is critical, but dad can't do it by himself. Mm-hmm. He's the leader. He's the head coach, and he needs an assistant coach. Called his wife, called mom, mm-hmm. to help him as they raise the kids together.
Well, let's dive in and let's start talking about just the very first mom that ever was, and that's Eve.
Eve, the mother of all living.
Eve, the mother of all living. And, you know, as we think about Eve, one of the first things that probably comes to most people's minds is her being seduced by the enemy and being led into sin,
right?
You know, and then convincing Adam to sin as well. And so if we think about Eve and that's our first thought of her, we think, my goodness, your one action changed the course of history in a negative way.
In an extremely negative way.
And, you know, she just believed the lie. She had pride that was there. She wanted to be God. She wanted to be in control. She wanted to do all those things. And, you know, all of those things are negative things. And so I just think, isn't it interesting that God used her, this woman that was led all of future generations. Now we have a sin nature because of her. Mm-hmm. And yet he used her. He used her to be the mother of all living.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for moms today, it can be so hard for us to move past mistakes that we've made. We just have a tendency to listen to the lies of the enemy that say, you're never going to be different. You are not able to change what you have done. This particular action that your children saw you do or whatever, it's going to ruin them. They're never going to be the same. They're not going to respect you. They're going to end up in a psychiatrist's office in their 30s talking about all the emotional and psychological damage you placed on them because of just some stupid decisions that you made. And it can be so hard for us to get past those things. But when we look back at Eve, she didn't have God's word. She didn't have the Bible in front of her as a book to help her. She didn't have other resources that we have today. And yet, by God's grace, she was still able to be forgiven and to move forward and to be the mother of all things living.
Yeah, and she and Adam had to deal with the pain of their kids going south on them.
Yeah, because they didn't have perfect kids by any stretch.
Well, no, the two kids that are, well, 3 kids are mentioned, Cain, Abel, and Seth. But Cain kills Abel. So mm-hmm. you have I have one child kill another child. So I have a murdered child and I have a murderer for a child. You talk about the pain associated with family dysfunction. Well, they had it in spades because she is the mother of all living. You know, it doesn't take too long for Genesis 6 to come around, where every intent of the thought of men's heart, of the thoughts of men's heart, were only evil continually. Mm-hmm. And Adam and Eve got a bird's eye view of seeing their children, their grandchildren, their great grands, their great great grands. Adam lived to be 930 years old, so he saw
some generations,
all the generations, and yeah. They're all related to him. They all come from him, and they came from Eve. And so, it is an encouragement to our hearts when we think about how even in the midst of their sin, Eve was deceived in sin and sinned. Adam wasn't.
Right.
His sin was much worse, mm-hmm. because he wasn't deceived. He couldn't say the devil made me do it.
Right.
I mean, he just did it,
right.
And just rebelled against God.
Well, I think too about Eve that, you know, she struggled with living a godly life. She struggled with submitting to Adam's leadership. You know, she really had the same struggles that we have, only we at least have a reason to have them. She struggled with those things. In a perfect world, she wasn't satisfied. She had a perfect relationship with God, walked with him daily in the cool of the evening, and yet she still sinned. She was still deceived. And that's an encouragement to me, because it's like, okay, if she did that under idyllic circumstances, mm-hmm. okay, then God has grace for me, mm-hmm. you know? And that's encouraging to me that, hey, she was still part of God's plan. He knew before he ever wove her together, before he even took Adam's rib and fashioned her, he knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And yet he still chose her. He still used her. And that's a great encouragement, I think.
Right. And the question is, will you see Adam and Eve in heaven? I believe you will if you're going to heaven.
Right.
I believe Adam and Eve trusted the Lord there in Genesis 3, preached a sermon series on Genesis chapter 3, such a key chapter. But when Adam called Eve the mother of all living, I think that was his statement of faith that God was going to cover their sin and that mm-hmm. they could be forgiven mm-hmm. Because of the provision from the Lord. Well, let's move on to another another mom, Debbie. This is the mom, Naomi. Naomi in the book of Ruth. Now, she is interesting because...
She is. She's an anomaly, isn't she?
Well, she's not... in chapter one, she loses her husband, Elimelech, his name means my God is king, and she has two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, and they leave Bethlehem and they go to Moab because there's a famine in Bethlehem, and in trying to escape the famine in Bethlehem, they go to Moab where her husband dies and her two sons die. Well, her two sons took wives, Moabite women, and Orpah and Ruth. And so when they come back, Orpah stays there in Moab, but Ruth attaches herself to Naomi and is like a daughter, a very faithful daughter to Naomi. But Naomi doesn't want to be called Naomi. Her name means pleasantness. She says, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. And so what does a mom learn from Naomi?
Well, I think, first of all, as I think about Naomi and Ruth's relationship, it was very close. They had a very, very close relationship. Now, the other daughter-in-law, she was close to Naomi as well, but not to the same extent that Ruth was.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth clung to her.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to all of the loss that Naomi experienced, she was able to build that good relationship with Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was, and we'll talk more about Naomi when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about an encouragement for moms. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and guys, listen, if you have children with your wife, you need to honor her on Mother's Day. Your kids may not, depending on their age, but you need to, because you need to let her know how much you appreciate her as your wife and as the mother of your children. So we will be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about moms today. Mother's Day is on Sunday, and it's a special day that we have in our nation to honor moms. And so I have my wife and the mother of my children, my three girls, here in the studio, Debbie, and we're talking about lessons that we can learn, encouraging lessons we can learn from the mothers in Scripture. Now, we mentioned Eve. She's the mother of all living, and she overcame much in terms of failure to be an example for us. And then we're talking, and right at the break, we were talking about Naomi. Now, Naomi and Ruth, that's not Ruth's mother, that's Ruth's mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And there is a phrase, you know, mother-in-laws or mothers-in-law is how you would say it. They can be very difficult if they're not careful. And there can be a big battle between a wife and a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law.
Well, and even a son and his mom, too, they can have problems, you know, because the bottom line is if we have raised our children the way God wants us to raise them, they are to our daughters are to leave and cleave. Our sons are to leave. We're supposed to
well,
cut
the man is to leave his father and mother and
right.
Keep his wife. So the wife is always protected.
Right. But the problem is that so many mother-in-laws, they just want to maintain control and they want to maintain a tight grip on their child. And you have to be able to transition into a new type of relationship, not only with your child's spouse, but with your child. Because if you've raised them the way God intends you to, they are always going to pick their spouse over you. They should always pick their spouse over you. And that can be very, very difficult. And it's normally the most difficult in the opposite sex thing. So it's for the mom, it's difficult when her son marries. Uh-huh. For the dad, it's difficult when the daughter marries because all of a sudden he's not the most important man in the daughter's life anymore. When the son marries, mom is not the most important woman in the son's life anymore. And it can just cause a lot of tension.
Well, it's funny how, because I look at the girls as my little girls. You don't look at them like
no.
that. And you can, and a mom looks at her son as that's my little boy. My mom still says that to me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my sweet boy.
Yeah, it's like, well, mom, I'm in my 60s. But that's just how she does
right.
it. And so, you know, I'll see Amy with Jack and Chase, our middle daughter. And those are just her little boys. I
right.
mean, she's always, she's going to have to fight as they get older to not see him as that little boy that she cuddles with and, you know, reads to and he's on her lap and all that stuff. And a father wants his boys to grow up and be strong and courageous and brave and mm-hmm. independent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
Well, and I think as we look at Naomi, she had such a unique relationship with Ruth because even though she did not have a spouse, Naomi didn't have a spouse, wasn't going to probably ever have another spouse, she did not selfishly want to keep Naomi all to herself. She wanted Naomi to marry. I mean, sorry, wanted Ruth to marry. She wanted what was best for Ruth. That's why she initially said, hey, you go back to your own people. I want what's best for you, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be selfish in making you stay with me or you feel obligated to stay with me. And it was a pretty selfless thing for her to do, to tell both of those girls, hey, go back to your own families. And I think as mothers and as mothers-in-law, that's a good lesson for us, mm-hmm. that we not be selfish in our relationships. And that can be very, very hard to do, especially if we want to still have some control and
right.
we haven't been willing to kind of yield that yet.
Right. Well, and it's we taught our kids this, you know, the choice that you make for your husband, your partner for life, really, really critical.
Yes.
You don't want to marry a controlling person. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, struggles with that from one degree to another. But if you marry somebody that's hyper-controlling, you're going to have trouble. And what we've seen, Debbie, in so many instances, that some girl marries some controlling guy, he pulls her away from her family.
Right.
And
that
just spells disaster. And then the family's like, what do I do with this?
Right, right. Yeah, and those relationships can be hard, particularly if you feel that your child has not made a wise choice. And maybe you just personally don't respect the person that they married. You mm-hmm. don't mesh yep. with them. It can be really hard to really try to respect your child's marriage and to... only consult when called in to consult, and to make sure that you are positive and that you say kind words. And that can be very, very difficult as a parent when you see things not going God's way. You see them kind of falling off the rails in terms of just relationship with the Lord and relationships with your family and stuff like that. That can be very, very difficult.
Well, Naomi is a good picture of how to have that good relationship with your in-law, and especially mothers-in-law with daughters-in-law. Mm-hmm. And so now let's turn the page to Hannah.
Mm. And she's a great one.
So she speaks to moms to have hope.
Right.
Because God is the God of hope. And mm-hmm. she was the one that wanted to have a child. She couldn't have a child. And she prayed, God, would you give me a child?
And she didn't just pray. She fervently prayed.
Right. She just poured out her brokenness mm-hmm. to the Lord. This is the desire of my heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, as it says in Psalm 37, verse 4. And so God did. God heard her, and God responded, and because she said, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you all the days of his life. And she did that with mm-hmm. little Samuel.
Yeah. She was very selfless when it came to him. And I think about Hannah because, you know, we all know, well, I say we all, the bulk of us that are listening today, we understand that God is the giver of life. He's the one who opens the womb. What we have a hard time understanding is why he chooses to not open every womb. Mm-hmm. And that can be extremely painful and frustrating, disillusioning, heartbreaking when you so long to have a child and you are not able to conceive and you're not able to do that. And we look around us and we see so many people who have children and they didn't even want them, and yet here they have them. And this is something we so mm-hmm. desperately
yeah.
long for.
It's hard to understand.
And yet God has said in his infinite wisdom, no. Mm-hmm. And that can be an extremely hard pill to swallow. It can be, Mother's Day can be really hard
a
for
lot
those
of those
ladies.
Women, they don't come on Mother's Day.
It's just too painful. It mm-hmm. it just is reminds them of just of their, not necessarily loss because they haven't had to loss, but just the loss of their dream, of their vision. Mm-hmm. And you know, Satan wants nothing more than to come in and make a woman like that feel like she's other than, she's less than, there's something mm-hmm. wrong with her. And my heart just breaks for those women that struggle in that area. And just to encourage them to trust God no matter what, because his ways are so far above our ways and he doesn't make a mistake. And he knows what's best. He knows what's right. He knows the timing. He knows all of those things. But that's hard. That's really, really hard.
So Psalm 84, verse 11 says, the Lord thy God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So you can just know this. If you're walking with God and things are not coming into your life like you want them to, you know, you bring that before the Lord. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's some avenue in ministry, whatever it might be. You just trust Him that if this is a good thing for you, God will bring it into your life. And so I had on the program one of my missionary heroes, Joanne Shetler, and she wrote the book, And the Word Came with Power, and I so enjoyed getting to visit with her. She's 87 years old. And I asked her about marriage, and she said, you know, I prayed for that, but that never came. God didn't have that plan for me. And so she, you know, was that a death of a vision? Yes. But she was okay with that, because it's like, I want to fulfill the plan God has for my life. And so, you know, we have to just say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And so I think just an encouragement to those out there who can't have children for whatever reason, you haven't been able to have children yet, still trust God. Still just know that if it's a good thing, God will give it to you. And go to church on Mother's Day and rejoice with the moms in there. And listen, you have a mom. And so if she's still alive or if she's gone on to be with the Lord, just praise the Lord for your mom, and the good and the bad, and don't let that keep you from rejoicing. You know, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we weep with those who weep, and so it can't be all about us. And so Hannah teaches us to trust God and to know that He's faithful.
I think another thing she teaches us is that our children aren't ours. They're on loan to us.
Uh-huh.
You know, we steward them, but we don't own them. They're God's. And, you know, she was so faithful to follow through.
Giving Samuel.
Giving Samuel over. And that would have been very, very difficult. And I think about that even like with Moses' mom, what she had to do to put him above everything else. Like, okay, if I keep you, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put you in this basket. I'm going to put you in the Nile, and I'm going to trust God to take care of you.
Bible trivia. What was her name?
Jochebed.
Jochebed.
Thank you. Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like Miss Bible Junior.
Yeah.
Or
they mispronounced it in the Ten Commandments. They called her Jochebed. It's Jochebed. Oh. C-H in the Old Testament is a K sound.
Okay, I've always said Jochebed, so look at me. I got that right, yeah. Too. This is a stellar day for me. This
okay,
is
so,
really cool.
So with Hannah, so she gives Samuel to the high priest, to Eli, and Eli's going to raise him. And Samuel, really, when we talk about the book of Judges, Samuel's the last judge of Israel. And then after that, they have a king. But because of her faithfulness, the Lord visited her. And the Bible says that she had three sons and two daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. God blessed her with five more kids. The lady that couldn't have any children, she had the first one, gave him to the Lord just like she promised. She followed through on her vow. And then God blessed her with five more.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, how about Elizabeth?
Elizabeth,
the mother of...
We've moved to the New Testament.
Moved to the New Testament. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, who was related to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so in this article, Elizabeth teaches moms to be friends.
Right, because... Elizabeth and Mary had a very, very close relationship, and I think it's important for women to make sure that we cultivate those kind of relationships with other women, and that we have a community of fellow moms and other women around us that share our same core beliefs, that share our patterns of discipline, how we want our kids to be raised, the environment in which we want them to be raised. We want to have mom friends that we can take our children over to their homes knowing, okay, they're going to do things pretty close to the way I do things. And there's just strength and power there. And, you know, we were made for community in the first place, but there's nothing more encouraging than sharing your difficulties with another mom who is just exactly in the same pair of moccasins you have on. There's just strength and encouragement and power that comes from that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So our daughter Amy, going back to her, because her life is just difficult with those two little boys, and they are active little guys.
Yes, they are.
But she gets so much help from her friend Hannah,
uh-huh.
Because Hannah has
Twin boys and a little girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all little, you know, and
all under three.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, I just think my life is chaotic.
Right.
I visit Hannah and see how she's pretty chill with the situation with her boys.
Well, and I think too, our culture has a tendency to kind of pit us against one another. So as a mom, you're looking on Facebook and you're seeing this mom looks so cute. She's always put together, you know, and you can feel like you're kind of in competition with some of these other moms that you see. And there was no competition between Mary and Elizabeth.
No.
It was simply a friendship that they encouraged one another. They strengthened one another. They were there for each other. They understood each other. They could be transparent and honest with each other. And they were a great encouragement to each other.
And every mom needs a friend like that.
Right.
Because
for sure.
even in the best of marriages, the husband, He can't enter into that to the depth of another mom. I mean, he doesn't know what that's like.
Right.
And so, you know, and as I had to learn, when you were having a tough day with the kids, especially when they're really little, you didn't want me to fix it.
No.
You just wanted to share.
Well, because your fixing it was never realistic. Like, don't let them in that room again if you cleaned it. You know, it's like, right, I'm sure I can do that.
Let's send them to boarding school. Yeah. I just want my wife to be okay. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about an encouragement for moms. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, and we love our moms, and we love our the mother of our children as dads, and so we want them to be encouraged. We want all moms to be encouraged, because what you do matters. You are making a huge difference. Hey, listen, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have an encouragement, a short encouragement for a mom, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call and we will talk. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about encouragement for moms. Moms have an important job. It can be a thankless job. It can be an exhausting job. You know, Debbie, we used to say this, that when your kids are little, they wear you out physically. And when your kids get older, they can wear you out emotionally.
You're just tired all the time.
It's just, you know, when you have kids, it's a lifetime commitment. To be a good parent. Mm-hmm. And you're hands-on when they're little, and then you start to be more hands-off. It's like teaching them how to ride a bike. I'm holding on, and then I let go, and I'm there for moral support and help if you need it. But as we've said, you know, you go from being a manager to a consultant as you're raising your kids. And if you continue to be their manager when they're young adults and not-so-young adults...
Doesn't go well.
Well, you're not helping them. You need to help them to cope with life and help them to trust the Lord and be responsible adults and responsible husbands and wives and moms and dads themselves. Well, let's talk about the last mom. And let me just mention, we are have the phone lines open. If you have a question, a comment, or a brief encouragement for moms, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Well, we've been talking about some moms in Scripture that we can be encouraged by, especially as moms. And we talked about Eve, the mother of all the living, and she teaches us how to get up when you're down, the way for fallen moms. And then we talked about Naomi, and Naomi in the book of Ruth shows mother-in-laws how to love and how to love their in-laws, especially their daughters-in-law, because that relationship, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, can be difficult if you're not careful. And then Hannah turns hopeful moms' hearts to God. And then we had just mentioned Elizabeth, and Elizabeth teaches moms to be friends. And all this comes from an article that was written, I want to give credit here, by Lynette Kittle, Five Biblical Mothers Whose Choices Still Impact Moms Today. And it was a good launching point for us as we talked about things. But she ends with, Debbie, in this article, she ends with Mary. Mary helps moms receive the disruption of motherhood.
Mm. And the disruption can just be on so many different levels. Like with Mary, the disruption was that she was with child at all, right?
Right.
That was the disruption for her life. And I think back on just our kids, and we had Jill, we had Amy, and then I got pregnant again pretty quickly after Amy. I think Amy was only 6 months old when I got pregnant again, and this time I had two different miscarriages because I was carrying twins. So I miscarried one twin at 9 weeks. The second twin I miscarried at 19 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't too terribly long after that that I found out I was pregnant with Sarah. And I was devastated. I just was distraught because I had physically and emotionally been through so much with those two miscarriages, particularly the one at 19 weeks. And I remember just crying and crying and crying. And I really, at that point, thought, okay, well, this baby's probably not going to make it either. And so I didn't even go to the doctor till I was past 12 weeks. And I can remember so vividly, I can go back in time and I can just see it all happening, that the nurse came in, you know, to put the Doppler on my stomach. No heartbeat. And I thought, yep, here we go. Here we go again. And then our doctor, which was Dr. Alanese, he came in, he put that Doppler down, and just immediately, we heard that. I heard that heartbeat. And I think back now, and it seemed like that was such a disruption in our plans and in our life, but our family would be void. It would just be, I cannot fathom our family without Sarah in it. You know, she was just the perfect caboose. And, you know, so as a mom, oftentimes when we find out that we're pregnant, that's a disruption. Mm-hmm. But the disruptions don't stop with pregnancy, because all along the way, kids disrupt our lives, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we're planning on doing X, Y, and Z. One of our kids gets sick, and we can't. We have to stay home. And so those disruptions that just are organic within being a mom can leave us feeling frustrated and isolated and misunderstood and all of those things. And it can really just point out at just a base level how selfish we are. Right. That was the biggest aha moment I had. I didn't consider myself to be selfish until I had kids. And I was like, it's not just that I'm selfish. I'm a selfish pig. I'm horribly selfish, you know? And I just think back with Mary and all that she went through being so young, and just that major disruption in her life, and how it changed the course not only of her life, but the course of history.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we see that as culture has totally changed in their attitude toward babies. Mm-hmm. And we want to, I mean, so many women now are, I don't want to be tied down and stuff. I want to, you know, have an abortion. I ought to be able to have an abortion. And they, well, let's call this reproductive health care. Mm-hmm. It's murdering your unborn child. It's, mm-hmm. it's gruesome. It is horrible and awful. It is murder because life begins at abortion.
Life begins conception.
Yeah.
There we go.
So abortion is murder in the worst degree. I mean, to take a little life that you should defend with everything that you have, and the womb should be the safest place on earth mm-hmm. for a little child, and to turn that into a killing zone, it's beyond comprehension. And God is going to judge America over that sin. I've said this many, many times, but when it comes to voting, abortion is the issue. And if people don't get that right, they're going to get a ton of other things wrong. And mm-hmm. so don't vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion. You just can't do it.
Yeah, and it's important to, in light of that, it's also important to remember that abortion is not the unpardonable sin, right? I mean, God can forgive those women that have been deceived
yes.
into doing that, but they bear the consequences of that the rest of their life. They bear the guilt, they bear the shame, they bear all those things. The lie of culture says, this is not going to change your life at all. It's going to solve your problems. It's going to make everything great. And, you know, once this is done, you're never going to have to think about this again. Well, nothing could be further from the truth.
It's a yeah. total lie.
Yeah. And I think if we're going back to Mary, what is such a standout to me is that she had such a faith in God that she trusted his plan for her life, even when she didn't understand it. When it was like, I don't even know how this is going to happen. What do you mean this Holy Spirit's going to come upon me?
Right.
You know, what does that mean? She didn't know what that meant, but yet she still trusted God's plan. You know, I'm your bondservant.
Yeah.
And
behold, the doulos of the Lord, the slave of the Lord.
Right. And so she trusted God's plan and she trusted God's timing. And I just think those two things are so critical because we, in our desire to control, we can understand intellectually that we can't control things, but our want to is to control. And so often those control issues revolve around the timing of different things happening. And so I love just Mary's example of, hey, I'm trusting the Lord with this situation. I don't understand it. I have no idea how Joseph is going to respond to this. This is a disruption in his life as well. I don't know how all of this is going to go, but I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to trust his timing.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, what a blessing.
Right.
You're chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. I mean, that every Jewish woman would have said, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, that with that blessing, there comes a lot of responsibility and there comes a lot of difficulty because Simeon told her when they presented Jesus in the temple as a little baby, he said, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. She was there when her son was crucified.
Right.
You know, I don't think we could fathom that
to see
your child. I mean, crucifixion was the most brutal form of murder that the Romans, that man has ever devised. And it took hours and maybe even days for the crucified to die. And to see that.
Well, I think about that Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. And there were two scenes in that movie that I could hardly watch. The first one was when they are lashing mm-hmm. Jesus and they're torturing him prior to
right,
him being
scourging.
put on the cross, and then his mother having to watch that, her watching him carry that cross as he's walking down, you know, that Golgotha and or the what the
Via Dolorosa.
Yeah, there you go. That Sandy Patty song. Mm-hmm. Anywho, those were the two scenes in the movie that were just a struggle for me to watch because that would be unbearable.
If you remember in The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson breaks it in her mind where she sees him as a little boy falling down.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's picking him up and she's flashes back to him, you know, working with his dad being in the carpenter shop and man, that's just heavy.
It's difficult.
Very difficult.
You know, with children, I have maintained this for a long time. They're your greatest blessing and they're your greatest challenge, mm-hmm. you know, and they can break your hearts, mm-hmm. You know, as a mom and a dad. And so we just have to keep that all in perspective. As you said, Debbie, your children don't belong to you. They belong to God. And we have the joy of getting to parent them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we do a good job by God's grace. And so our kids grow up knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and we have a great relationship with them all the days of their lives and in our adult life. And so it is, you know, as it says in Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are the children of one's youth. Well, we have Don on the line from Mississippi. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor, to you and your wife.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, look, mine is a little bit different, you know, about, and I know you guys are talking about celebrating mothers, and I'm all for celebrating mothers, you know, but it's a difficult, it has been difficult to me because it's been personal. You know, I have a son with my best friend, and, you know, we had a son out of wedlock and stuff, but I still want to celebrate her as being the mother of my son, but it's rather difficult. Yeah, it's rather difficult than doing that when I'm not allowed. I want to be a dad. I really want to be a dad. I hear you talk about being a dad, and I really want to be a dad to my son, and it's just been difficult. He's 11 years old. I haven't seen him in almost, you know, I've been seeing him off and on for 11 years, but, you know, it's hard to celebrate her at this particular time.
Sure.
I don't know how, you know, you guys can address that, but, you know, it's just been a difficult go.
Yeah. You know? Oh, man, my heart hurts for you, Don. That would be very, very painful and hard. Well, I think I would just encourage you this way. I would just bring that continually before the Lord. Thank God that your son has a mom who cares about him. And even though she's not very agreeable toward you being in his life, just say, Lord, I want this to change. Please change it so I can be the dad, the hands-on dad that you want me to be for my son. And, you know, I just, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. God is in control. Your wife is not in control. She may seem like she's in control, but God is ultimately in control, and God can change her heart. If he can change the heart of a king, he can change the heart of your wife. And I would always, to your son, when you have time with your son, I would always build up his mother. He loves his mother just like you love your mom. I love my mom. It's just innate within us. Don't ever talk down to your son toward his mother and diss her, because that will alienate you further, even though there's hurt there, which is normal and natural. But always build your son's mother up to him, and find the things that she does well and praise her for that. Help her to see that you are safe. You're not going to be somebody that's going to try and drive a wedge between her son and her, because if you do that, then she's really going to dislike you and see you as an enemy and not as a friend and somebody that needs to be kept at arm's distance. And so you want to be her ally, not her enemy. And so I would just encourage you in that way. And I know that's hard. And so you have to just pray, Lord, help me. You need to empower me to love her and to speak well of her even when she's doing these things that are hurting me and hurting my relationship with my son. And then lastly, let your son know, hey, your dad loves you. Your dad is here for you anytime you need him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. Hey, share this program with someone, some mom that needs to be encouraged. You can go to AFR.net, Real Truth for Today, and share the podcast and let God use you to be an encouragement to your mom, to the wife of your children. Hey, God bless you. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and let God use you as His witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.